look, if you will, at that salmon-colored piece of paper that you got when you came in tonight. It's titled, A Brief, Abbreviated, Very Condensed, and Severely Truncated Timeline of Jewish History. I had to pick and choose. I only had so much space, and I thought anything smaller. A 10-point font is already evil, right? So, on the left side of this timeline, you have some significant things, a few significant things, that have happened in the time of the Jewish people, really, beginning with Moses leading the Israelites out of bondage, circa 1230. We don't know exactly, before the Common Era. And then going all the way down to 1967, and because of the breadth of this timeline, and certainly not the depth, right? I left a bunch of blank spaces underneath just to signify we know that there are lots of things that happened even since then. I'd like to challenge you, actually. Take a look at this timeline and just these little things that are listed here and see if you can find for me a time in this Jewish history when our people did not need courage or hope. None, Edis? Not a single one. Anybody disagree with Edis? Can anybody find a time when we didn't need courage or hope? That was pretty much what I came up with, too. So take a look then, if we're going to work with the assumption that all throughout our history, we as people have always needed courage and we have always needed hope. Let's focus in on a particular time span here. Take a look at about 722 before the Common Era to 586 before the Common Era. There's about four lines there. There was a time when Israel was two nations. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which included Jerusalem, that was called Judah. So there's the northern and the southern. And in about 722, the northern kingdom falls to Assyria. So the only sovereign Jewish kingdom is the southern kingdom, which is Judah, which includes Jerusalem. In the year 622, before the Common Era, King Josiah... That's not on here because it's abbreviated. King Josiah found in some closet this book, which wasn't, of course, a book. It was a scroll because it was 622 before the Common Era. He finds this scroll, and he reads the scroll, and lo and behold, he finds that all of the things that he's been doing in his kingdom are bad, are wrong. If he wants to follow the word of God, he needs to make some radical changes in the way that he behaves and in the way that his kingdom behaves. And that scroll that he found, today we call Deuteronomy. So he found one of the books of the Torah that had been forgotten somehow or another, and he implements it. Around that same time, there's a prophet called Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was in Judah for a while, in Jerusalem for a while, and then he went for a while to Babylonia, and then he went for a while to Egypt. And when he was in Egypt, he reported prophecy against the Egyptians. You see the tie-in to this week's Torah portion, since this week's Torah portion has Jeremiah as the Haftarah, and Egypt is about to fall in the Torah portion. So now fast forward from the year 1230 to the year 622, and we're repeating history again. And Jeremiah is saying to the Egyptians, everything's got to change, you're going to fall, it's going to be terrible. And at the same time, he tells the Israelites, remember the place of Israel in that area between Egypt, between Babylonia, all of the things that are going on. If there's going to be wars, if people are going to come in, it's going to come through that land. But besides that, they're also living still in Babylonia. They're also living in Egypt. They're all over the place. And Jeremiah says to the Israelites, have no fear, my servant Jacob. Be not dismayed, O Israel. I will deliver you, speaking for God, from far away, your folk from the land of captivity, and Jacob again shall have calm and quiet with none to trouble him. You have no fear, my servant Jacob, declares the Eternal One, for I am with you. I will make an end of all the nations among which I have banished you. God saying, I sent you to all of these places out in the hinterlands, and all these places where I sent you, all those other nations, I'm going to put an end to them. But I will not make an end of you. I won't leave you unpunished, but I'll chastise you in measure. So don't think that you're going to get away scot-free, but unlike all of these other nations, you won't be destroyed. Okay, so first of all, why are the Israelites so dismayed? If you take a look at the timeline, you can see that the destruction of Jerusalem is just about to happen, or depending on when Jeremiah gave this prophecy, maybe it did just happen, kind of hard to say. Jeremiah lived until about 585, so he would have seen the overtaking of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. So hard to say exactly when this took place, this prophecy, but it's pending. The temple is going. Jerusalem is going. What would that look like for our ancestors who lived in that time, in that place? What would their family life look like? If they had young men in their family, they might be fighting, or they might be in fear of being taken as slaves. There's a belief that Jeremiah preaches that Nebuchadrezzar, okay, two different people here, Nebuchadrezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, that Nebuchadrezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, don't you love those Babylonian names? Those are good, huh? That they're agents of God. So if the kings of Babylonia come in and they take over Israel and they take over Jerusalem and they take over Judah, it's because God wants it to be that way. That might be the punishment. That's the belief. They're agents of God. It's God's plan. So we better listen to King Josiah, who's telling us that we've been bad, and we better change our ways because we're afraid of what's coming. Yet what's coming came anyway, the destruction and the overtaking, which comes with it destruction of daily life. Your home is gone. The place where you go for business is gone. Your friends are being dispersed. Your family is being dispersed. If you're lucky, maybe not too many people that you know are killed and die in the fires and in the battles. And you yourself are sent away and out of everything you know. So why might they be dismayed? It's obvious. That's their life. Everything is in the air. Okay, so considering their circumstances, and their circumstances being so different from our circumstances, it's amazing that Jeremiah's message to them, take courage, have hope, despite all of the dismal things going on around you, take courage and have hope. That message is still applicable to us today. I hear people say, I don't deserve this, what's happening to me. Why me? Or, God doesn't work like that anymore, that God is going to punish me accordingly or protect me accordingly. It's not the theology or theological statement that I believe. So what I would say about this take courage and have hope and Jeremiah's applicability to today is that we don't know how God works. And not one of us can assert with any confidence what our place in the larger picture of the world looks like. We don't know who Ron's affected in all of the ways and all of the continents and all of the places that he's been to. You can't say with confidence, I know what kind of a difference I've made. And you certainly can't say with confidence, I've never made a difference. So when we look at this big timeline, there are, at least that I see, at least four layers of experience. One is these big global events, destruction of the temple, rebuilding of the temple, destruction of the temple, Mishnah codified, you know, all these big events that don't really have these names associated with them, and that's one layer. But then there are at least three layers of the people that are involved. There's the individuals that we remember for their roles in the events, King Josiah, Jeremiah, Prophet Isaiah, let's come fast forward, Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, Emma Lazarus. Then there are the individuals, like who I just mentioned, which we remember them for their roles, but they had other aspects of their lives that we don't typically remember, either because we don't know them or because it's not part of that big meta event that we remember. And then the third layer is everyone else, the people whose names aren't recorded on these timelines or in those history books. And to each of these people, regardless of where they fall in those layers of experience, to each of these people, Jeremiah said and says the same thing. Don't be afraid. Your circumstances they'll pass. Unfortunately, even if they're good, they'll pass. But when they're bad, those circumstances will pass. There is quiet in the future. Take courage. Have hope. Our tradition teaches that the 5th century Malachi was the last prophet, 5th century before the Common Era. You can find it on there. Israel and Judah falling under control of the Roman Empire. And since then, we've still needed hope. We've still needed courage. No more prophets. Who is here to tell us, take courage, have hope? The reality is that Jeremiah is still here. And Isaiah is still here. And so too is this history. And in your personal life, if you don't feel that you deserve what you've got, or God doesn't intervene, our tradition tells us to look back at our history to find courage and to have hope for our future. We are here as the Jewish people. And when you look at this timeline, it's a miracle. So take courage. Have hope. Israel is once again populated as a Jewish state. Take courage, have hope. The book of Deuteronomy was lost, and then it was found, unknown, and then followed. We too have choice to use our sacred texts or to turn to them for guidance, to use them to take courage, to have hope. And Jeremiah tells us there is justice. Poor choices will not go unnoticed. Chastisement will follow. But in the end, salvation is certain. Take courage, have hope. The prophets aren't here to say, take courage, have hope. These need to be our words. When we read them, we need to repeat these words as we are the prophets. The words are there. And now we can say them to ourselves and to each other to take courage and have hope. That's what our Jewish history teaches us, and that's what we hold on to in creating the magnificent future that is yet before us.